Now we're up to number five. Number five is, if we'll just say it in a nutshell, because it's a little bit complex the way he puts it down. Number five is understanding the Chiyuv Hishtadlus and its place. Understanding the place of Hishtadlus in your Bitachon. Because otherwise it's very confusing. You're supposed to have Bitachon, you're supposed to do Hishtadlus, right? It gets very, very confusing. We've discussed this already, but here's where the Chofetz Chaim is going to take it head on. Part of Bitachon is understanding Hishtadlus. Understanding why you need to do it, understanding the way you're supposed to go about it. Fitting Hishtadlus into the picture correctly is an important piece in your Bitachon. So let's see how he puts this down. Hakdama Achamishis. So, prerequisite number five is Sheyizboya Etzlai. Now again, if you just start reading this, it seems like he's going all over the place. So let's just keep the focus. The fifth prerequisite is understanding Hishtadlus. Now, what does that mean? So what that means is Sheyizboya Etzlai, you have to understand anything that unfolds in Olam Hazeh, in our world, after the creation, meaning any occurrences, will be shnei dvarim. Anything that you see happening falls under one of two categories. One of them are the things that Hashem wants to happen, meaning He has a whole plan for history, which includes many, 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 many details. If you just break it down, one of the many, 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 many details is each of our lives. Each of our lives includes many, many, many details. So, there are Hashem's agendas, if we'll put it that way. The things that He wants to happen in His world. That's one category. V'cheftzor, His desire, b'yitziyosam el gvul ha'avaya. And this is His way of bringing them out. Hasheni, now there are other things that are sibois umitzuim, that are the means of Hashem's desires getting carried out. Mehem krovim umehem rechokim. Some are more immediate and some are more distant. Meaning, we already discussed a few times, you see something happening, this occurrence might really just be one piece in a chain of events that's leading up to something that Hashem has planned. We gave the example of two people happening to be in the same place at the same time. Why? Because Hashem wants a business deal to come about, a shidduch to come about, something else to come about. So these two people happening, so to speak, to be in the same place at the same time are a link in the chain. So he said, whenever you see something happening, you are either seeing something that Hashem had in mind playing out, or you're seeing a link in the chain toward that. Okay, so now as we said, some are closer, some are more distant, right? Let's say, we're talking about the case of a shidduch. So, when your phone rings, and it's the shadchan on the phone, so that is a more immediate link in the chain, right? Whereas someone spotting the girl at some simcha, happening to be in the same place at the same time, is a bit of a more distant link in the chain. Go even further, the circumstances that brought the girl to this simcha, right? Maybe she's not even such a close friend of the Kala, but for some reason she happens to be coming to the chasana now. That whatever caused that is weiter, a link in the chain. So now, mem niglu mem istarim. Some are more clearly leading towards it. You might say a date is one of, if they go out a few times, so each date is one of the clear, obvious links in the chain leading up toward this shidduch. Some things are a bit more concealed. But all these things are steps leading up toward what Hashem wants to play out. Okay. Now, he gives an example, I'm not going to read through it, but he gives an example of if you see there's a water being drawn out of a well. So there might be a whole system, a whole primitive machine in place with a wheel that's turned by an animal, that's led, driven by a person. So if you're just looking at this system and you see, well, what's actually bringing the water out of the well? The rope. The rope is bringing the water out of the well. So who's the critical piece here? The critical piece here is the rope. Right? But the truth is that the rope is not as important as the wheel, who's a little more distant. Right? The wheel is not as critical here as the animal, is even a little more distant because the wheel is more replaceable than the animal. But even more important is the person who's driving the animal, however these systems work, I don't know. But whatever the case is, the person who is driving the animal, he is the one who actually has the plan of getting the water out of the well. He is the one who knows how it's supposed to happen. If he's off the scene, there is no plan of getting water out of the well. So you look at what's going on here. You see, person, all right, he's, you know, he's far removed. He's far removed from the picture. The main player here is the rope and the pail. But actually, they're just at the end of a deliberate process where the much more powerful pieces in this process are further removed. It's the person who wants to get the water out of the well. So that's how Hashem manipulates things, things that he wants to happen. You might see, this caused that. Oh, so I attribute what happened to the immediate cause. It's not really so. That's really mamish a peripheral link at the end of the chain that could have played out in a whole bunch of different ways also. The main thing is the more important causes that are activating the whole chain. Where is he going with all this? So now he tells us this is where the concept of Hishtadlis comes into play. Why? Because, let's say Hashem has in mind for you to get food this week. Or, you know, let's talk a little more immediately. Hashem, his gzeirah was, it was nigzar on you, on Rosh Hashanah he decided that on Sunday...
Recording in progress.
Sorry, okay. I apologize again. We are having continued trouble here. We're going to try to contend with it as best as we can, but we've been on and off now. In any event, I'm recording it separately so that afterwards we'll make the recording available, but we'll keep trying to reconnect if we get disconnected. But again, I'm apologizing in advance. Apparently, we will be having trouble. Okay. Weiter. So, Hashem decided, it was Gezer on you on Rosh Hashanah, you know what, on Sunday, today, you are going to have breakfast. That's what Hashem had in mind for you on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now there's a whole chain of events leading up to that. Hashem is busy making wheat grow. I don't know if someone else can fill us in on the details of exactly when that happens, and let's just talk for illustrative purposes. Okay, Hashem is making the wheat grow. When does wheat grow? Hashem is making the wheat grow already last year, I guess. It was part of your gzeirah, it was already last year. Hashem is making the wheat grow, and Hashem has a whole plan. He has a whole company in place, a company called Angel, or maybe Berman, right? That they're going to be another link in the chain. You have the people growing the wheat, you have the companies who are going to be transporting that wheat, grinding it, etc. There's all kinds of links in the chain that Hashem is planning in order to get you your breakfast. Okay? But there are a few links in the chain that are pretty relevant to you. Let's say Hashem gets the breakfast all the way to you, and now it's on the plate in front of you. And you say, okay, great. Hashem decided that I should have this breakfast. So you sit there. Now, someone tells you, okay, pick up the fork and eat. Oh, why should I do that? Look at everything that happened up till now, all the amazing things that Hashem made happen so that I should have this breakfast. I don't need to pick up my fork. If Hashem wants me to have this breakfast, I'm going to be nourished without picking up my fork. You sit there looking at the fork, and the fork is looking at you, and the breakfast is getting cold, and you know, you're not going to have your breakfast. Now you're going to say, okay, apparently this is what Hashem decided, that I should go without breakfast today, because had Hashem decided that I should get my breakfast, I would have had it. What's Hashem's response? Hashem's response is, I was goyzer that you should have breakfast. And I had a chain of events leading up to that. There was one piece in that chain of event, and that is, I put something on you here. You have to pick up that fork, and you have to move the food into your mouth. If you decided not to do that, you broke the chain. You broke the chain. There are pieces in the chain that Hashem puts on us. This is the concept of hishtadlus. Now, Chavis HaVavis adds, you know what? You might be involved in more than one link in the chain. Hashem might actually put 6 links in the chain on you. Not just that you have to pick up the breakfast, but you actually have to go to the store and buy it. You can't sit at home and say, Hashem wants me to have breakfast today. It'll come. Hashem wants you to have breakfast today. Well, one of his steps in the plan is that you actually go to the makolet. Now, in order to go to the makolet, you have to have money. Hashem says, okay, that's also a part of the plan. Take steps to get money. I'm providing them too. You take those steps, you'll get the money. Take those steps, you'll get the money. But don't sit back and say, if I'm supposed to have everything I'm supposed to have, it'll happen without me taking the steps. No. Hashem said, I'm going to see to it that the wheat is produced and that angel gets it to the makolet near your house and everything that's involved in that. I'm going to take care of that. But you have to meet me up along the way. You're going to have to work to get the money. You're going to have to withdraw it from the bank, or if we're not, whatever it is. You're going to have to make the trip to the makolet. You're going to have to schlep it home. And you're going to have to put it on your plate, and you're going to have to pick up the fork and chew it. This is how the Chovas HaVavas lays it down. If you decide not to do any of those, so you cut Hashem's chain short. Question.
Yeah, so I understand how you could cut your own chain short. Could you cut somebody else's chain short?
Can you cut somebody else's chain short? Let's assume right now that not.
Okay.
That seems to be the approach of the Chovas HaVavas. It's a bit of a more complex discussion. There may be different ins and outs to it.
A parent to a child that doesn't go get the food for breakfast.
Right. So let's assume right now that not.
Okay.
For our purposes. We may get to a point where we'll take it further, but right now, in order to keep it the broad picture clear, we'll assume that not.
Okay.
So now, the question is, if so, that's what the Chovas HaVavas is telling us. This is Hishtadlus' place in Hashem's plan. It is not that there are two tracks. There's the things that Hashem does, and then there's the realm where we have to apply Hishtadlus. No. Hishtadlus is a part of the process of Hashem's plan for you. Now, the question is, here's the big question. Why did Hashem set it up that way? I was saying that he adds here that it should be clear that Hishtadlus can only serve as that. It can only serve as a link fitting into Hashem's plan. If you do Hishtadlus but there is no plan, it's like the rope trying to get water out of the well by itself. You have to have a person who's pulling the rope. The rope can lie there and really, really want to get into the well with the pail. He's never going to get there. So Hishtadlus, this is its place in the system. This is its place in the system. So, if so, we understand that, no, there aren't two different tracks, Hishtadlus and Bitachon, right? It's the understanding that Hashem made his decision, he expects you to do your part of it, and soon we'll see. You don't always know exactly what Hashem's plan is. But Hashem says, I want you to provide that part of it. If I have something in mind for you, it'll funnel through that. If I don't, you did yours, and then rely on me. Now the question is, why is it like that? Why is it like that? Why did Hashem set it up that way? If anyways it's working through his gzeirah, why couldn't it just get to me without me doing anything? So the Chovas HaVavas gives two fundamental answers. This is the million-dollar question. Why is there a chiyuv hishtadlus? Now I want to stress that it's a million-dollar question because it's a question that we should ask. Meaning, in a general way, people are comfortable with the concept of hishtadlus. Everything comes from Hashem, but lemaisa, you have to do yours. Okay, Baruch Hashem, you have to be practical. I don't like. It's hard for me to really let go and say that Hashem is making the decision. And therefore, as long as I know that at the end of the day I have to do my ishtadlis, so I still do feel like it's under my control, and okay. So therefore, to many people, the question doesn't occur in the first place. Why do you have to do ishtadlis? Well, lemaisi, you got to be practical. All the talk about pitachon is nice in theory, but lemaisi, you have to be practical. If that's the understanding, that's, it's really another way of denying the whole concept, right? In theory, but not in the real world. So you have to understand that, no, Hashem's plan is Hashem's plan in the real world also. And therefore, it is an important question. Why should there be a chiyuv ishtadlis? Hashem can do just fine without you. So, Achavis HaLavis gives two fundamental answers. And really, these answers are just very, very chashuv to understand in and of themselves. The first one is, Va'ila asher ba'avuro chiyuv ha'bore sa'odam lechazer, the reason that Hashem required a person to make efforts toward his parnasa, ushar mashu tzarech elav, as well as any other means, health, everything else. Why do you have to take steps toward that? The answer is the shnei panim. There are two reasons. Echad mehem. Number one is. Number one is because we're here in this world to be tested. This is so fundamental to understand. We're here in this world to be tested. Meaning, a person might feel, come and tell Hashem, I'm the father of a family, I'm the mother of a family. I want to be involved in your service. I want to be connecting with you. Okay? I'm a man. I would like to spend my whole day completely focused on learning without any other concerns. And davening at complete leisure. And then I could really serve you properly. But the setup
Recording in progress.
The setup as is doesn't give me the opportunity to do that. Because I have to be so busy with all these other things that are distracting me from your service. Or, right, a woman might say, I would love, I could really connect with you if I could just be able to spend hours a day saying Tehillim and inspiring myself in all kinds of ways. And the fact that I have to be so busy taking kids to the doctor and fixing this and seeing to that in my home, it's distracting me from your service. Why do I have to have these things in my life? Why couldn't it all just be simpler? Why is it that kids have difficulties at school that then I have to run down to the school for? And why is it that kids sometimes have to be taken to the doctor, etc., etc.? If all these things could just not be, they seem to be inhibiting my ability to really dedicate myself to your service. So, here the Chavis HaLavis says, you have to understand, you are here in this world to be tested. And the responsibilities that Hashem piles up on you are very, very important forums for His testing you. Okay, we'll use Parnassa as the simple example. Right? Let's take a person who knows he has to work for a living. He knows he has to work for a living. Okay. Now, it comes to a situation of Shmirah Shabbos. He can do much better in business if he could go straight through Shabbos. So all of a sudden, Shabbos here becomes a curveball. Am I going to overcome the test? But there's a certain b'di'evad here, meaning like it feels like this is not the ideal situation. The ideal situation is that Shabbos shouldn't be a test. And had I not had this job, Shabbos wouldn't be a test. So it's kind of like a shame that I have this job. But you know, it's exactly the other way around. Hashem says, your purpose is to be tested. And your parnasa, your need to make parnasa, is an amazing place for me to test you. You tell me it would have been so much simpler for you to keep Shabbos. I didn't want it to be so much simpler. It would have been even simpler had you not come down to this world in the first place. You were in a great place before you came down to this world. You were with me at the Kisei HaKavod, right? And it couldn't stay that way. Why do we need this whole business? Needed the whole business because your connection to me will have so much more meaning if you proved yourself. That's why I put you into this world. So you're saying, Hashem, well, let me prove myself. Make it simple for me to prove myself. He says, no. Proving yourself means that it's going to be a complicated system. And therefore, I want you to have a job that will make Shabbos complicated. And that's your way of proving yourself. So it's not a bidyeved. The Nisayan is not a bidyeved. The Nisayan is not like, okay, this is a curveball that got thrown at me. That's the reason you're supposed to have a job in the first place. The reason you're supposed to have a job in the first place is in order for you to up the value of your Shabbos observance by overcoming the Nisayanis. Right? And that's why I gave you that job. Integrity. Right? If I really want to do good business, I have to play some shtick here and there. So, it's not just a question of, are you going to overcome the test? Are you going to justify your whole business? Right? The purpose of your business is, it's not that you have to do business and beware of tests. The purpose of your business is for those tests. It's much like an obstacle course. The person is doing an obstacle course, hits an obstacle and he says, ugh, I pay good money. There shouldn't be things in my way, right? Or, you know, I'm paying an Olympic trainer. I'm paying a trainer to develop me physically. You know, he should be easier on me and not give me heavy weights. No, it's the purpose of the whole process. And therefore, Hashem says, you know what? By imposing on you a chiyuv ishtadlus, I have all kinds of places to test you now. You have to get to the doctor, right? And you also have to be back to pick up your kid on time. And now you run into a problem because things are running a little late and there's somebody who's really before you. And the question is, are you going to lose it? So Hashem says, that's exactly why I put it on you to have to care for your children's health, to have to care for your health, etc. So the reason for the Chiyuv Ishtadlus is because that is the arena where we're meant to prove ourselves. We know that, yeah, the need, the feeling that I have to care for my welfare, I have to care for my parnosa, I have to care for my health, I have to take care of this, I have to take care of that, is a very, very strong feeling. And adarabba, that's exactly where we can prove our loyalty. That's why, you know, in a general way, what we'll say is, you know, every profession, what's the most ideal profession for a Jew to be in? So, the answer basically is that every profession has its test. A person might say, it's not a good idea for a Jew to be in business. You know why? Because business has all kinds of monetary pitfalls, potential pitfalls when it comes to monetary things. Okay? So, business is not a good realm for a Jew. Being a doctor is certainly not a good realm because you can become insensitive. You know, as you get used to dealing with patients all the time, you can start developing a certain insensitivity, or you might start feeling all powerful if you're a successful doctor. That's also not a good idea for a Jew to go into. Chinuch, definitely not a profession for a Jew, because all kinds of pitfalls in terms of dealing with children. You know, you're dealing with children all the time. You know what the stakes are when you're dealing with children? So chinuch is also not an ideal profession for an Eved Hashem. What's a good profession? I don't know, a bird watcher. Something like that. There's no pitfalls there. It's all smooth, straightforward. So you know what? Now let's go back and look at those three professions that we mentioned. You come to the businessman. Hashem says, there are monetary pitfalls, potential monetary pitfalls in business. That is the whole value of doing business. That's the reason why I want you to be in business. Because I want to have my children who are going to shine, they're going to be in business, and they are going to prove themselves. So you know what? Whenever, if you can identify the pitfalls in any particular profession, You have identified the opportunities for Avodas Hashem, the opportunities for growth, the opportunities for perfection, the opportunities for Kiddush Hashem in that perfection. It's not that, well, there are the pitfalls here and there are areas here where I can actually prove myself. The pitfalls, the potential, I keep saying pitfalls without potential. The whole point is the potential. The potential pitfalls are what make that Parnassus something of value. And that is the reason why Hashem set it up such that there are going to be Jewish businessmen. Because Hashem says, I have different units, right? I have my unit of businessmen, I have my unit of koilmen, I have my unit of doctors, I have my unit of mechanchim. And no, we don't say, okay, the mechanich, he knows that he's okay with money, Baruch Hashem, the businessman is in trouble. But the mechanich knows that he's okay with money, Baruch Hashem. As far as money goes, chinuch is an ideal profession. It's exactly the other way around. The reason that Hashem wants his unit of businessmen, right, his brigade of businessmen, is because this is where shleimus in the area of money I'm going to get. And why does Hashem want some of his children to be doctors? Because I want to see the doctor who works hard to maintain those sensitivities. What did we say? Right, the potential pitfalls when you're a doctor is that I might become insensitive to patients. It's like a certain natural process. As you're dealing with it all the time, you become used to it. Well, that's exactly the point. I want you to prove yourself. I want you to work to maintain that sensitivity. You're worried that you're going to become, you don't want to become a doctor because I might start, if I'm successful, I might start feeling all powerful, etc. Well, that's exactly the purpose. I want to have doctors who I can hold up on a pedestal and say, look at this doctor. He's a great doctor. He's internationally renowned. And look at his humility and sense of understanding that Lamaisa, it's Hashem who is caring for the patient and I'm just the kli.
Yourself in a situation of being tested.
Good question. That's right. So you're asking a good question, an educated question. Aren't we supposed to try to avoid Nisyanus? And the answer is we're supposed to try to avoid Nisyanus, and we're here to be put in Nisyanus. Meaning, don't put yourself in the Nisyan. Nisyanus will come. Don't worry about it, right? But you have to realize the value of life is in the nisyonos. It's both sides of the coin. Both sides of the coin, we have to emphasize both sides of the coin. Our purpose of life are the nisyonos. Yet Hashem says, I have an ample supply for you. You try to avoid them. And don't worry, with your trying to avoid them, there will be plenty. But part of our nisyon of life, part of our avodah v'yiras shamayim, is to say, I'm making all the efforts that I can to keep myself completely clean, and therefore, I'm going to steer clear of any potential pitfalls. And Hashem says, you steer clear. That's how you prove your Yirah Shamayim. But even while you're busy making your detour, I'll put three in your path. And there, you'll prove yourself. So it's true. It's very important to understand both sides of the coin. Do not look for Nisyonos. Looking for Nisyonos is a demonstration of a lack of Yirah Shamayim. We prove our Yirah Shamayim by avoiding Nisyonos. And yet, they will come your way. And when they do, realize that that's where the value and meaning of life is. And like we say, every professional, every profession, every occupation, and when I say occupation, it extends also beyond Parnassa. Any circumstance in life has its... I don't want to go afield. Every area of Hishtadlus has its pitfalls. And the attitude is not that it's a shame that we have to do this ishtavlus because now look at these potential pitfalls. No, this is exactly the game plan. That's exactly the meaning and the purpose of your life. To be dealing with the nisyanis as they come up through your chiyuv ishtavlus. So that's... Question?
Question is like similar to reasonable hishtadlus and going overboard. Meaning, granted, there's going to be nisyonos everywhere, but you don't look for a situation where you should have, you know, more than the reasonable nisyonos.
Right. Right.
True, you shouldn't look for nisyonos, but you're saying obviously we're going to have that, but that's, I think that's where you draw the line. If you're doing your reasonable hishtadlus, then
I ask, how do you bring it together? Oh, okay, good. I ask, how do we bring it together? You are supposed to look for a means of ishtavli. You're supposed to look for a parnasa. At the same time, we're saying, don't look for nisyonis. Oh, very good, right. So that's the idea. You have your chiyuv ishtavlis, which means that, like you say, you're supposed to be making a reasonable ishtavlis toward your parnasa. Inevitably, that will include nisyonis. Those nisyonis are the nisyonis that are meant for you. Absolutely. And you know what? The truth is that even when considering one profession versus another, if you see that one entails more nisyonis than another, part of your avoida might be to opt for the one that entails less nisyonis. But what our point is, don't say, I'm going to opt out of ishtadlis in total because of the nisyonis it entails. That's like saying, you know, I just will lock myself up, not do anything, because of the nisyonis that life entails. Getting married, you're inviting a lot of nisyonis when you get married, right? And yet, we understand this is what Hashem wants. So yes, Hashem wants us to go about that ishtadlis. And when considering the ishtadlis, Hashem does want us to be weighing. How many nisyonis will this one involve? How many? And you know what? There are even situations, it's always a juggle. It's always a juggle. There are even situations where a person should simply say, this job has too many nisyonis, and therefore I can't take it, even if there isn't another viable option right now. Person is going to get a job where they're going to be constantly in an inappropriate setting, all the time. And on the one hand, you could say a person who's forced to be in such a setting has to be mekadesh shemayim by closing his eyes and ears and holding his nose and not letting himself be affected. But on the other hand, once it's passed a certain degree, we say this is not my chiyuv ishtadlis at all. Even if there's nothing else available right now, this is not something I should take. So yes, it's definitely a juggle. But we're saying, in terms of the concept, we're not going to shy away from ishtadlis because of the very fact that it contains nisyonis. On the contrary, we go about ours responsibly, both in terms of the ishtadlis and in terms of avoiding the nisyonis, right? And in terms of avoiding the nisyonis. But then, having done that, we embrace the nisyonis as they come up. We embrace the nisyonis as they come up as our means of proving ourselves. I probably said this a number of times before, but I'll say it again. Rabbi Victor Miller would say all the time that nisoyen is from the sheirish of the word nes. What does nes mean besides miracle? A banner. A banner is something that you hold up aloft to show this is my claim to fame, right? I'm shaykh to this team. I'm shaykh to this country. Anyone carrying a banner is showing a proud association. So nisoyen is your potential claim to fame. This is what it's important to understand. When you're facing a nisoyen, you have to see that you're being handed a banner. You can carry this into the next world. Or throughout the rest of this world, my claim to fame is this nisayan that I overcame. Right? It's mamash how it is. We talk about the Olympic trainer who's being given those obstacles and being put in his way. And when he jumps over it, he's handed a medal. What does that medal reflect? I jumped over this nisayan. And therefore, really, it's so fundamental to create a synonymity. The word nisayin and the word opportunity are synonymous. Not to view the word nisayin as something, a curveball that would have been better if it wasn't here. No. Nisayin is synonymous with opportunity. More than that, nisayin is synonymous with claim to fame, with that banner that you're going to hold aloft. And that's the purpose of ishtadlis. That is the reason that Hashem imposes on us that chiyuv ishtadlis. It's reason number one. So that's important to understand. We'll just sum that up. Just as we understand that we're here in this world, the whole purpose of being in this world is to prove our loyalty to Hashem, it's really just another layer of exactly the same thing. What does it mean to be in this world? It means to be provided with nisyonis. And that's exactly what the chiyuv ishtadlis is. Hashem says, here is your package of nisyonis. And this, on the contrary, this is what defines your purpose and meaning in life. Okay, as we said, that was purpose number one of ishtadlus. We'll see the next purpose of Mitzvah Hashem next week. Okay, agut evoch. To you.